So I'm running in the mall. First shop I see, I enter it. I find black jeans. Skinny black jeans, okay? This was from the kids section, okay?
Give it Use to her. My money. Your my 14-year-old money for a whack outfit. Hi guys.
Hi everyone. How are y'all doing?
Inshallah, you're doing good. How are you, Shahad?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Doing Your uni really started, right?
Yeah, uni started. It's been a good time. Yeah, it's been like, this is my second week.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because it started last week. But it's been good, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Still like in the early stages, so it's not like extremely busy right now. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's been good. But yeah, anyway, tell me. How's anyway, everything?
Good. Did you know that we've reached our 1-year anniversary on this podcast?
We said that.
Well, no, you know what hit me though? Is that because we posted on our story and also on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like because we've had a lot of new followers. So we told them like, if you have any questions that you want us to answer, put them below.
Yeah.
And when I was checking the comments yesterday from Instagram, it came up that we had a 1 year ago story. And it was a story of us that we posted and we were said episode 3.
Oh, and so
I was like, damn, 1 year ago, we were still uploading episode 3.
That's so crazy because I just remember that time, Shahad, when we first initially started and everything was so messy.
So chaotic.
We had no idea what we were doing. We had no idea about how to use like any editing tools like GarageBand or... At that point, we didn't even have YouTube.
We had a lot of... We tried to use a lot of stuff. Remember when we had Audacity?
Audacity.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was so confusing. I hated Audacity. Same. You knew how to use it better than I did, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, I don't know, it was so hard to use. And then we had the other one. We used GarageBand. I used iMovie, too.
I remember for our first episode, because we just recorded it on our iPhone, like, actual mic.
Yeah.
We had to use, like, an AI thing to clean up the audio.
Yes.
Because it was in my bedroom, and the AC was loud, and we didn't realize that until we finished. And at that point, it was, like, the 7th time of us retrying to do our first episode. So we were like, khalas, we'll, like, manage with this. And yeah, and it sounded a bit robotic, like listening back. Yeah,
because it was technically it was fake because we recorded it like 7 times.
Yeah, so we almost like had a mental script of what to say. Shahad, you're gonna say this, and then I'm gonna say this, and then we're gonna do that. And I just remember one of your friends, they were like, "Once you like, you're gonna hate the first." What did they say? They said you're gonna hate the first like 5 episodes that you're gonna upload, and I think that's so true because. I swear to you, up until maybe like episode 8 or 9, did I start becoming a bit satisfied with where we were going and where we were heading. And then there was like a small dip again that I felt like, because we weren't stable in where we were recording.
Yeah.
Like we had this massive mic and we would put it in the middle of Shahad's car.
Yeah.
And it sounded so echoey. And then there was times that we did episodes, for example, with Betul.
Yeah.
You can find it on Spotify and Apple. And her voice was so quiet and her voice was fine. Ours was so quiet.
Yeah. And it's so messy. Because we were sharing one mic, was it?
You and
two
I.
Two mics.
Yeah, you and I were sharing a mic.
Yeah.
And then Betul was, she had her own mic.
Yeah.
We managed to get like a second mic. And then, for example.
And linking them up was torture.
Horrible. Thank God we didn't have YouTube at the time.
Yeah.
Because that's like, you know, like I feel we weren't at that stage to be doing that extreme of work because we had no establishment of where we were going.
Yeah.
And we were still so fresh to it. That's why I'm like, I would love to bring on more people, but it's just, I still feel like we're still figuring it out. Like now I feel like, okay, we're good.
Yeah.
You and me.
Yeah.
We're good. But then to have a third person, it's just like extra editing. And I also want everyone to like have their own mic and like have their own, you know, like be on camera, be upfront as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, with basically us hitting a year, so many people don't know us. There's like, we're at that stage where it's not only our like friends and family that are listening to us, it's more and different people all around the world. And
I just remember we used to get like 3 Spotify plays. And I was like, oh my God, 3. She's like, yeah, one was my sister, one was my brother, and one was me.
It's so funny because I was like, I swear when we used to see those numbers, Shahad, I was like, I don't know why we're doing this.
Yeah.
Because it's like realistically, who's listening besides me and my family? But then, yeah, alhamdulillah, Allah faraj al-umur. And we're at this point now and it's really nice and I like where we are. And, you know, Shahad, like, I think about it. I'm like, what if we reach a point where we have like 100K subscribers or something like that? I don't know how it would be if we would still be doing it like this. Like in your car, simple, laid back.
I think we'll have our studio.
Yeah, inshallah by then.
Yeah, inshallah.
We could like afford our own studio and have our own like actual setup where it's like consistency every single time.
Yeah.
But yeah, with basically so many new people, there's been so many new questions. Your water bottle.
I know. It's okay.
Okay. I like how we spoke about it as if we're so much more advanced now. If you could only see our setup, it's a tissue box for the camera. It's a tissue box, our microphone, like box, and a water bottle, and our phone.
Yeah, that's what's holding up the phone right now. My water bottle that's dripping.
That's insane. Okay. Anyway, but yeah, new people, new questions. People want to know who we are, more about us. So let's get into it.
Let's tell them, girl.
We asked on YouTube and we asked on Instagram. And honestly, I didn't expect so many people to like be so interactive and want to ask so many questions. But people are interested. So we're here to answer majority of your questions. There was a lot and we kind of shortlisted them down to
because
one.
Because some questions were kind of similar to other questions.
They were overlapping.
Yeah, so we were like, it's fine. Like,
we'll merge.
Yeah.
Or, you know, there was a lot. So we just kind of stuck to the ones that we think people would want to hear about the most.
Yeah.
Okay, first thing. What's our name?
My name is Shahad.
And my name is Ghina. And I am 20.
I'm 20, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm 20.
Chupa. I'm 20. She's been 20 for a while. I don't know why she paused.
Well, I remember there's this one time, I don't know where I was, but someone asked me, oh, I was like, oh yeah, like these people that are 20. And then my friend looked at me and she's like, girl, you're 20. I was like, what? No, I'm 18. And then I paused. I'm 20.
Yeah.
I'm 20. I'm not 18.
Yeah, no.
I'm not 18.
We're
guys.
Grown.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're both 20 and I'm from Palestine.
I'm from Egypt.
And we, so where do we live?
Where do we live? We've got that question
since the start. Yeah. Where we live? Where are you guys located? What's your exact pin code, zip code, Mashadif ish? We're in the Middle East and that's as most comfortable as we want to answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know, later on it
in
will...
In the future.
In the future.
When we get the 100K.
Guys, subscribe! I had the same idea. 100K subscribers and we'll release where we're from. Where we are.
Where we live.
Yeah, no, but we're in the Middle East. We're located in the Middle East, but so we've like... At least for me, I've experienced like life outside of the Middle East. Mm. So I lived in Canada for majority of my childhood. And then I came back.
Yeah, no, I was born in the Middle East and I lived in the Middle East.
Yeah, you were born here, stayed here, didn't really move around.
No.
But yeah, but then you hop around back to Egypt sometimes, like on vacations and breaks. And yeah, so that's as far as we're going to answer for that for now. So yeah, I study business marketing. I'm in my final year.
Computer science, final year.
And we're so opposite, like when you actually think about it.
Yeah, but I feel like that's what... brought us like closer together.
But then you weren't always, were you always like a sciencey kind of kid?
Not sciencey, more of like tech and design girly.
Really?
Yeah, I love design. I love doing design.
Oh, I remember when we did design class together. Yeah. You were really good at design. I remember that.
The precision, the way you like, you remember we used SketchUp and oh my god, I had some crazy project with SketchUp, by the way.
Hated that.
I loved it. Art, hated it.
Art, I wasn't good at art. And even in marketing, like, I don't think I'm like a artsy person, but I think I'm creative, like, in a way to like present things. But I don't think like I know how to draw or, you know what I mean? Like, I don't have the artistic side to me, but I have that like business creativity side to me. So that's why I went with marketing, because I initially started with finance. Mm. And I only did finance because I was like... that's where the money is, or that's what I was always told, is like finance means big money, means you'll have so many racks and you'll live your life and you'll get to, you know, go on yachts and luxury and everything. And of course, like, I want to live that lifestyle. Who doesn't want to?
Facts.
So that kind of contradicts of like, does money buy happiness? But yeah, I really wanted to go into finance just because of that. I entered, I was like, oh, this is not me at all. I lasted 2 semesters. I immediately switched, which is good because at least it was in the beginning stages of my degree. Mm-hmm. And then I like consolidated with everyone in my family. And I was like, guys, I'm moving into marketing. It wasn't even like, oh, I want your opinions. But my sister was honestly the biggest person that was like, Rena, I see you in marketing, finance. You're just not, it's just not for me. Mm-hmm. And she was like my biggest push in like, go for marketing. You're not going to regret it. And ever since I switched, it's been the best decision. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, alhamdulillah.
But yeah, and I really enjoy what I do. And yeah, but you knew exactly what you wanted to do from the get-go, no?
Yeah, I knew I was going to do computer science. I was interested. We also have, by the way, we do have a video about it.
Yeah, we do.
We do have a video about
it. We do,
it.
Yeah.
But I was interested in psychology. I really wanted to go into forensic psychology.
I remember that.
But then my mom was like, big money ain't there.
Yeah.
Big money in computer science.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, fine. We'll stick with computer science.
Yeah.
But I liked, like, I was always good at it and I liked it. So I didn't mind it as much. But like, what I would have loved to do was psychology.
See, look, the thing is that I was so shocked that you took that route because ever since we were kids, Shahad, I've always seen you as like the person who wants to be a detective or a spy. And like we've been friends for, how long have you been friends for? Like since grade 6, I think.
Yeah.
It was year 7. Yeah. We were in a British school. And yeah, which is grade 6. So from grade 6 until final year uni.
12. Then
nine. I was gonna say I did not know you when I was 6 years old. There's no way. Yeah, nine. Yeah. Years. So since we were 11.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have seen every stage of me.
Yeah.
And I've seen every stage of you. But the thing is, we weren't like consistently friends.
Yeah.
We only started becoming really close in like grade 10, 9.
10, 9. No, so how it worked is we were friends from grade 6 to like grade 8.
Yes.
Grade 6 to grade 7. Was it 2 years or not 3?
I think it was 2 years.
Yeah, grade 6 to grade 7. We were friends. She left.
I left the school. We met in middle school.
Yeah, we met in middle school. She left. So then we stopped talking. But like, I always like missed her. Like I would always like want to talk to her, but it just never, the chance never came.
Yeah.
And then I was hanging out with one of my friends. She took a picture and posted it on Snap.
Yeah, on her story.
And then she pulls up.
And I don't know, I don't remember what I said, but I said something like, oh my God, Shahad.
Yeah.
And then your friend goes, yeah, whatever. And then I don't know, I think you reached out to me.
Yeah, I was like, it's my time to shine. Let me go and text her because I miss her. So then we started texting.
Yeah.
And that's when we clicked because we realized we're taking the same curriculum.
Which was IB.
Yeah. And we were both basically like,
we're in this together.
Yeah.
But we were in different schools at that point. We completed high school in different schools, graduated, and now we're doing uni in different unis.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We just always managed to stick. And it's not like we would see each other often. That's another thing.
No.
We would see each other once in a blue moon. Maybe like every 4 months, every 5 months, maybe twice a year.
Because we couldn't even drive at that time.
Yeah.
So it was very hard.
And then you moved to a different city and I was still in the...
Yeah.
Yeah, I was still in the same city that we were both in originally. Then she moved and I was like, well, it's hard because now I can't, like, if I wanted to take a cab, I can't because it's just going to cost so much money. Yeah. And I was like, what, like 16, 17? So regardless, I couldn't afford it. So we would rarely see each other. And then on the one-off occasions that we would... It was so nice.
Yeah.
And I remember you told me, do you want to tell them about the nosebleed hangout?
Oh my God. So
go on.
One of the questions were like, what's the earliest memory of your friendship?
Yeah.
And I remember I was telling Rina because she was like, oh my God, I have a nosebleed. And I was like,
oh, wait,
that
wait.
Reminds me. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you said. Yeah, go on, go on. Never mind.
Like, we were on a call, like, recently. And
yeah,
she's like,
yeah.
Oh, my God, I have a nosebleed. And I was like, oh, my God, Rana, you know what that just reminded me of?
Yeah.
And she's like, what? And I was like, I think the first time we hung out of school.
Yeah.
And that was in, like, middle school.
Yeah.
So she's like, what? I don't remember. I was like, let me tell you, girl. We went to this mall. First of all, I didn't know what the mall was.
I don't remember the mall either.
I don't
even
remember the mall. I just remember it was a new mall to me, and I just didn't know where we were.
Yeah.
And we were walking around and everything, and then all of a sudden, and Rina was wearing light floral colors. She was so, like that's important to the story, okay?
Because I'm always a bright girl. You rarely catch me in, like, dark black, like, yeah.
So she starts having a nosebleed, and, like, it goes all over her shirt, all over her pants.
Yeah.
And we're running to the bathroom, and she's like, Shahad, listen, my clothes are ruined. I'm giving you money. Go get me clothes, please. And I'm like, what? So at that time, we were not that close for me to know her size or to know her aesthetic or to know anything.
Because when we were in middle school, we would mainly be wearing uniforms.
Yeah.
So our school was always like uniform. Everyone wears the same thing. So she never saw me outside of school. So that was the first time we were hanging out. And
she was also hijabi at that time.
You weren't?
So I wasn't.
Oh, this was way back. Okay.
So it was, I think it was your first year of wearing the hijab.
Maybe, yeah.
And because I wore it a year after you.
Yeah.
You actually inspired me to wear that.
And
hijab.
I gave her a hijab tutorial.
Yeah.
It was in my bathroom, I remember. I propped my little phone up, my iPhone 7. It was a red one as well. And I was like, okay, so this is what you do. You bring a short side and you bring a really long side and you wrap it around. And I used to wear this cotton material.
Yes.
And it was so fluff on my head. Okay, sorry.
Anyways, back to the story.
Yeah.
So she gives me the money and she's like, just go get me something. I was like, okay. So I'm running in the mall, okay, because I don't want this poor girl to stay alone in the bathroom. Like, we were meant to hang out together.
Yeah. And so I remember it was everywhere. The nosebleed was everywhere. Yeah.
So I'm running in the mall trying to find a place that I can buy from. Like, I didn't even know the place. So I was just the first shop. So the first shop I see, I enter it.
Yeah.
And I'm looking around and I'm like, okay, she's hijabi, so I need long sleeve, I need pants, I can just get her, like, shorts and a shirt, you know what I mean? So I find black jeans, skinny black jeans, okay?
Keep in mind, I'm a skinny girl, so skinny black jeans does not look nice on me.
Yeah, and keep in mind, all of this was from the kids section, okay?
Oh my gosh.
So, and then I found next to it, I found a shirt that is like white and black and crisscross type of, you know?
I don't remember it being crisscross. I remember it being white and black stripes and there was a Mickey Mouse on it. That's what I remember.
See, I don't remember the Mickey Mouse. I just remember the white and black crisscross.
Okay.
And then I paid for it and I ran to her and she wore it. And I didn't mean it in like a bad way. Like, I didn't mean like, oh my God, let me dress her in like the worst way possible. It's truly what I saw in the time span.
And in the kids section.
In the kids section. Plus, I didn't want to use a lot of your money.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I was really afraid. I'm like, oh my God, she's going to be like, what the hell, Shahad? You just made me broke.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. So anyway, she puts it on.
And I was wearing a black hijab as well. So you have black hijab, black and white, black skinny jeans, and I was probably wearing maybe black sneakers, most likely. Probably. I used to wear Converse at the time. So you just have me absolutely, like, depressed from top to bottom. And I was just like, I was rolling with it because I was like, whatever, it is what it is.
She was like, she tried to make me feel better. She's like, maybe my sister will like the shirt.
Like the shirt. She didn't like the shirt.
But yeah, that was our first hangout. And I think after that, we, like, left really quickly, by the way.
Yeah, because I was like, I'm gonna go home. I don't want to be out looking like this anymore. Yeah. But yeah, it was, I just remember that day, like, now, because I completely forgot this memory. Like, I swear, you're telling me it feels like a fever dream. But when you told me about it, I was like, yeah, I just remember waiting in the bathroom for you for so long. Shahad, I was like, what is taking this girl so long to just pick me a top and a bottom? Like, I was like, I didn't want anything fancy. She could have gotten me sweatpants.
Yeah.
Or anything. Or, like, just a workout outfit. I don't care anything. But, like,
yeah, but see, like, my aesthetic at that time wasn't even, like, sweatpants.
What was, like, your aesthetic at that time? I don't remember.
It was, like, I don't know. It was my mom's aesthetic.
Mm.
So it was like the jeans, the shirt.
Yeah.
So it was the Egyptian mom aesthetic feel. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. And plus, I liked the color black. So I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, so that will do. It didn't do.
It did not do. It did honestly not do. It didn't do. But yeah, from there, we just, I don't remember us hanging out much after that incident.
Yeah.
We just went back to school like nothing happened. And I, by the way, I'll go back to it, but Shahad, bro, the thing is, I get nosebleeds a lot. Yeah. Like, I don't know why my nose just bleeds a lot. But anytime I get a nosebleed, people like freak out. They get so scared. They're like, oh my God, what's happening? And Shahad, I remember you were, I felt like you were about to faint.
Yeah,
I watching can't. My nose bleed, because I don't feel like you're good with like blood and like
I'm not good with blood at all, especially like if it's like not like gory stuff, okay, but like seeing my friend or my family or someone I know
yeah
bleed, I can't. I physically
can't. She was literally acting like I was gonna pass out.
Yeah,
like her face went pale and she's like, what do I do? Yeah, but then, you know, from there we started being a bit closer.
Yeah.
And then, our peak was, like, when we realized we were taking the same curriculum.
Yeah.
And then we graduated from high school. That was great. And then we started off into uni. And we realized... And then that's when, Shahad, you started getting your car. You were working on your license. You got your car. And then we realized, like, we just really like to talk.
Yeah.
We really love to talk. And one of the questions that we got was, like, how our friendship evolved ever since we started the podcast. And... Okay, first of all, we'll talk about how the podcast started later on.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like we got so much closer, but also...
We were able to see each other more because of
the podcast. It was more of an excuse.
Yeah.
To be like, well, I'm seeing Shahad today. Yeah. I have to film, you know? And it was like... But you know what? I also got to see you in a different light, because it's so much more different to just be friends with someone and then just to work with them. Because I feel like when you work with an employee or a colleague, it's normal, Adi. Like, you guys go your separate ways. It's done. Done deal. You see each other from certain hours of the day and you don't have to interact with them for the rest of the day. But Shahad, it's like a 24/7.
Yeah.
Like, interaction where it's like we talk all day, we text all day, we catch up all day, we see each other more frequently now. Like, we have to see each other at least once a week, if not twice, you know? And then I remember at one point I felt like the podcast was overtaking our friendship.
Yeah.
Where it was like all we talk about is the podcast. Whenever we see each other, it's just for the podcast. We film, we go.
Yeah.
And I hated that period because I was like, I literally lost a friend for something that's this, which I love the podcast. Don't mm-hmm. get me wrong. It's so nice. And it's something that I'm really proud of us for doing and for still doing and taking initiative and working really hard. But I just remember, like, Shahad, we weren't friends at one point.
Yeah, there came a point where it was just business.
Yeah, where it was just like to get work done and mm-hmm. that's it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there was like, it was unfortunately like, it got to a point where it's like, there's no need for us to see each other unless we're going to be filming.
Yeah.
And that wasn't nice. And then I felt like during that period, we also didn't speak as much. Because the only time we would speak, it's like, what are we filming this week?
Yeah.
What are we going to talk about?
When am I seeing you?
That's it. It would never be like, hi, like, how's your day going? How's everything? Let me just check up on her, whatever. And it was really bad. And then I noticed myself, like, I don't want to say that I'm a hard worker, but I'm a very much like...
Perfectionist?
Yeah. I'm super like down to the detail. And I remember in the start of the podcast, I wanted everything perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect to the T. And Shahad has a different way of working. And it's not bad, but it would clash. It would clash so much. And then that I felt like put a strain on us.
Yeah.
To an extent a bit. Because it just made it feel like, well, I have a certain way of working. You have a certain way. We're coming out with different outcomes and we're not pleasing each other. Because to you, it's like, Rina, you're doing too much. Relax. And to me, yeah. It's like, Shahad, you're not doing enough.
And like, then, to me, I personally don't see the details that she sees.
Yeah.
So when it comes to, like, for example, when it would come to editing, I wouldn't notice the, like, the pauses.
Yeah, because in the beginning, bro, I used to literally want to cut out the ums and the... You know, yeah. Like those things. And then I kind of loosened up and I was like, but that's what's nice about having a podcast is that it's organic and they hear that, because that's just how it is when you talk.
Mm-hmm.
You don't talk to someone and not one will come out of their mouth.
Yeah.
You don't talk to someone and not one like will come out of their mouth. Like, I remember those little sounds used to irk me so much. And then I would listen to podcasts that I used to like and I would be like, oh, but they're keeping it in. So why am I like being so picky?
Yeah, I think you're also picky because you didn't want like awkward silence, or you didn't want, because awkward silence was also a big thing for you.
Yeah.
So when you're listening in the car, you didn't want them to hear the silence and be like, oh wait, what happened to the episode? And yeah, then they'd be like, oh hi, you know what I mean?
Because also at the beginning I felt like we didn't have that flow.
Yeah.
Like, it was very robotic, and it was very much like, my turn to talk, now it's your turn to talk. It would never be like an actual conversation. But now it's like, we talk how we actually talk in real life, where it's like, we can talk over each other. You can interrupt me, I don't care. I can interrupt you, it's fine. But like, it actually feels like it's a conversation.
Yeah.
It's not like, my turn, your turn, my turn, your turn. So yeah, I feel like the podcast put our friendship to a test.
It really did. I think a lot of stuff put our friendship to the test. Like, you moving schools, that put our friendship to the test.
Yeah.
We not being in the same city, that put our friendship to the test. You almost went to study abroad.
Yeah, I did.
That put our friendship to the test.
Yeah.
And then, like, we didn't end up in the same uni. So that means we made new friend groups, new people.
Yeah.
So that could have easily just been like, oh, khalas, I have my own life now and you have your own life. We're not taking the same courses. We're not even in the same like area of like where you study at.
Yeah.
So that also put our friendship to the test.
Yeah.
There's like so many things that could have caused our friendship to crash and like fall apart.
Yeah.
But we still stuck through.
Yeah. And one of the questions we got was, how did we manage to be friends for so long? And I think the best thing, and you always say this, is that we actually give each other time to talk. Like, I give you a minute to explain yourself, and like, I'll go quiet and I'll listen, and you do the same, vice versa. Plus, I just feel like we're really understanding, and I feel like I've known you long enough that I know exactly what each tone means.
Yeah.
Like, I know you genuinely, like, you're in the back of my hand. Like, I know you so well where, like, if I pick up the phone and you have a certain tone, I know something's a bit off.
Like, hi.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, what's wrong? And then she'd be like, nothing. And I'm like, oh my God, here we go. And now I have to beg and be like, Shahad, no, please.
No, she doesn't even have to beg. She just stays quiet. And I'm, Rina!
I swear, Allah, Alim. It's so funny. But like, khalas, like, I know you, and I also know you where I know what bothers you, so I don't do it. And I know what makes you happy, so I do it.
Yeah.
So like, khalas, like, I respect you. I think that's also another big thing that we have, is we have a lot of respect for each other. And if something bothers us, like, I'm a very confrontational person. If something bothers me, Shahad, I tell her immediately. I'm like, Shahad, I didn't like when this and this happened.
Yeah.
But I feel like,
and I don't take it in a defensive way where it's like, why? But I
yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? No, I'm like, oh, I understand. Like, maybe I didn't mean it that way. Like, I'd explain myself.
She would clarify, which helps a lot.
But I wouldn't put a defense mode on.
But one thing that I love is that you actually, I don't just tell you, you also take it in. Like, you don't just sit there and be like, yeah, okay, I get it. But like, I wouldn't see it happen again. Like, if I tell you, for example, Shahad, oh, it bothers me when you don't bring me water, for example. Next time I'll see you, every single time you'll have water with you, just for me. Like, something's like, I never said that, but I'm saying for an example, like something like that. So Shahad is really the type of person where she'll take it and she'll be like, okay, I'll run with it. Like, if it makes her feel better, like, let's do it. And then if it's something where it's like, I feel a certain way, but it's like a complete misunderstanding, she will also put me in my place and be like, Rina, that's not what I meant. And, you know, like, one, two, three, whatever.
Yeah, I truly, as and I told her before, like, and she said it, where it's like, friendships are based on listening and speaking.
Yeah.
Like, that, there should be a balance. Because if it's just one side talking, the other side is listening, that's the therapist. Like, you're just going to see your therapist.
Yeah, exactly.
But with friendships, it evolves and everything happens when you listen and she speaks and then you speak and then she listens. That equality, that balance, that's what makes the friendship last.
Yeah.
And respect.
Yeah. And then one of the questions we got, which I really liked, was what is like our non-negotiables. This car has been going round and round and round.
Really?
By the way, yeah, this is like its fourth time going around.
Oh,
okay. Anyway,
maybe he's testing it out.
Maybe. What's our non-negotiable? What's one non-negotiable for you in a friendship that's like, if you do this, like, you're out?
See, the thing is, I'm such a forgiving person, so I might be like, because I was thinking like, oh, lying. You laugh at me, please.
Yeah. Please. No, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Disrespect. Laugh at me.
I don't know. I think my non-negotiable is not necessarily lying and like disrespecting, because I think that's bound to happen. I just think your reaction.
Really?
I think my non-negotiable is a bad reaction to things when it's like, come on, you know I have a point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because at the end of the day, you're going to meet different people with different personalities and different viewpoints and whatever, all of this stuff. But it's just like, you might get disrespected, but then their reaction is like, for me, a non-negotiable. Like, are you going to react where you're super fiery and defensive and ugh, and you go around and you talk bad about me and whatever? That falls into disrespect, but it's like, I don't know, it's one step extra where it's like, if I call you out and I tell you I don't like XYZ,
yeah,
and then you end up going around making a scene, whatever. Like, you know how in relationships it's like what happens between us stays between us? Yeah. I feel like that's the same thing with friendships.
Yeah, I feel like a non-negotiable for me is if you go talk to someone else about some about a problem that we both had or something and didn't come and confront me about it.
Yeah.
So if you're going to other people to talk about our friendship in a bad light
and you didn't directly
come to me,
yeah,
then yeah, no.
Because it has nothing to do with them and you're just making like unnecessary drama.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to rapid fire through these really quick. Okay. What careers do we want for ourselves?
I want to help kids in terms of cybersecurity and just make sure that they're safe online.
Okay, wow, very cute. I don't know for sure yet. I want to have a marketing agency, but I don't know with what directly, but I'll figure that out one day. Mm-hmm. Do you see yourself wanting a life that's picture perfect in terms of career, love life, persona, and family life?
I don't see that that's ever bound to happen. There's nothing called perfect, especially in this world. There's nothing perfect. But I'll try to keep like a good balance between each and every one. And I'll try not to make, because a lot of people get consumed with work life.
Yes.
They forget about their own personal well-being and their
that's
family.
That's me. Yeah.
So
which is not good.
That needs to be a balance.
Yeah, agreed. I think, 100% agree. I don't think I'll ever reach a point of picture perfect, and that's normal. And I feel like that's what's nice about life.
Yeah.
Because if it was picture perfect,
you'd get bored.
You'd get bored. There would be no memories. There would be no nosebleed stories. There would be nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have a timeline for everything? And do we think that's a pressurizing and limiting mindset to have?
I have an idea on what I want. I don't have a timeline where it's like, oh, by this age, I need to get married. But like, like for example, the career thing, that's an idea that I want to achieve in my life. I didn't set it a goal to be like, by 2027 this is gonna, what am I gonna do?
No. Yeah,
because life happens and you never know, like you can't plan your life. There will be, because again, it's Allah, like
exactly, it's what's written for you.
Exactly.
It's the like qadar, qada o qadar, that's written for you. I think it's nice to have some sort of idea, because that's my kind of mindset, is like I want to have some sort of general idea of where my life is heading. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily have numbers and dates of like deadlines. I need to be like 25 and married or engaged, and I need to be 30 and have like this amount of money in my bank account. I don't necessarily have that, but I definitely want just to feel a sense of security, at least in my mid to late 20s. Mm. That's when I feel like I want to be established in some sense, whatever that means. Because establishment means different things. So whatever established means to me by then, I want to be established. Whether that means being married, settled down, or whether that means really career focused, whatever that is, I just want to be stable. Okay, where do we see ourselves in 5 years? So we'd be 25.
25. I'd see that inshallah I would have completed my master's.
Oh, inshallah.
And maybe working on getting my career life together.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
25, I honestly see myself engaged. Inshallah.
Inshallah.
I see myself getting engaged. And then career-wise, I just want to have a stable income. I don't see myself climbing up the ladder extremely at that age, because I've seen all of my siblings go through it. And I don't know, maybe I might be at a really high position. But like, I just want stability. And then I think 25, I kind of want to move out. Not from like my parents' house, but maybe like to a different country.
We'll
talk about it later, but honestly, I kind of want to just experience something. Maybe like if I end up doing my master's, because by then it's like, okay, I finished my degree. I don't want to do my master's straight away after I finish my degree. I want to have some work experience and then realize what I want to do, see what the market needs and see what works for me.
To be honest, I'm thinking of doing part-time. So part-time job, part-time uni.
Okay. Then you have that as well. But I think for me, if I was to do master's by that age, I would want to do a master's abroad. Mm. So I think I would be mentally stable. So if I was to move abroad, I think I could handle myself a bit. But we'll see. Okay, what inspires us the most?
You.
Oh, Allah.
It's you.
Okay, no, actually.
No, I truly believe like you...
Oh, you're being for real?
Yeah, you and my parents.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, I mean, you inspired me to wear the hijab, girl. That's insane.
Oh, that's true. I think what inspires me the most is the people around me, for sure. But I think above all is like what Allah does for people.
In terms of like...
Like, I mean, Allah can flip a person's life around 180. Yeah. And it can happen overnight. And I think that inspires me a lot, where it's like, I'm not always going to be in the same position that I'm in right now. Mm-hmm. And with Allah's power, that gives me inspiration to at least, like, I feel like, I don't know how to say this. It gives me more willingness to take risks, because I'm like, I don't know where this could take me, and maybe Allah could take it one step further. Mm. But yeah. That's also nice. Like, aside from that, definitely my family, like all of my siblings, they're really hardworking. My mom especially, and like everyone, just my family in general. So yeah, but I think aside from that, aside from people, I really think it's just like
Allah's
power. Okay, podcast. Let's get into the podcast. Why did we start the podcast, and how did we come up with it?
I remember we were at your place.
We were at my place.
I think we cooked that day. We made some chicken and rice.
Was it that day?
It was that day.
Okay.
Where we were having a conversation, and then we were like, oh my God,
oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
We should start a podcast.
Yeah.
Because like every time we would have a deep conversation, we would be like, wow.
This would sound so good if it was recorded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we were like, you know what? Let's do it. And then I like completely forgot about it. I completely forgot about the whole thing. And then Rina calls me and she's like, Shahad,
Are we actually doing this?
And she like did like a Word document, shared it with me.
Yeah, titles.
Title.
No. You weren't over. Because I was working at that time.
I was over at night.
Were you?
Yeah. Where it was just when we said it, like recently, when we said we should have recorded this, we need to start a podcast.
Okay, never mind. Maybe you were.
That was the idea.
I remember vividly, I was in my previous internship last year, and I was working in the office, and like when it would hit like 5:30, I was like, okay, 30 minutes to kill, let me like focus on the podcast. And I started this Word document, and I thought about titles, and I thought about, okay, what are we like aiming for, what's the whole concept going to be about, because there's so many podcasts, but then like what's going to be special about our podcast, why would people want to listen to us? And then I remember after work, I would always call Shahad, and we would talk about it for hours.
Yeah.
And just be like, this is what we're thinking of, 1, 2, 3, we're going to start on Spotify, blah blah blah. And I don't even think YouTube was like in our minds.
No.
And it was not even like, I think Shahad didn't even want to do TikTok or anything, because she was like, we're going to be TikTokers. I don't want to be that.
Yeah. Because in my head, I was like, oh, I don't want to show my face online.
That was the first thing.
Yeah.
For me, I was like, I felt like with marketing, it was going to be bound to happen.
Yeah.
A lot of roles like have content creation in them, so like I knew I was eventually going to be that, so I didn't mind. But then Shahad was like, no, and I was like, okay, valid. So we just started off on podcast, on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, and yeah, and then it's just been like a journey since. But we came up with the concept of Minds in Neutral because Shahad was driving at the time. Yeah. She still is, but she just recently got her license at that time. And then we would always have like chai or like tea in the car and like karaoke, and we'd always like talk and just catch up all the time. And it was so nice because like I felt like that was at that stage where I was like, oh my God, we're so grown up, like we have our own space now, where it's like your car is our space. And then we thought, okay, well, if it's going to be in the concept of doing it in a car, let's do Minds in Neutral.
Yeah.
And then because like the gear would be neutral, you're relaxing because you're listening to us. And then that's when we started the catchphrase of
sit back, relax and listen to us chit-chat.
And then we never carried that on.
Yeah.
That like died down. But yeah, that's like how we started. It was so nice.
And we had Batul, my friend. She's the one that made
the art. Yes, Art by Batul. She has an Instagram account. We'll write it down and we'll even put it in the bio as well. She's so good at art, and she did everything for us. And I think she was like one of the first few people that we told.
She was the first one we told.
Yeah, because we're like, okay, well, we definitely need like a logo or something. And yeah, and from there, we like sent her example pictures of what we wanted our logo to look like.
And she aced it.
Yeah. And she did such a good job. And we use that picture everywhere. So if you guys like also want to start your podcast, you don't know where to start, you don't know how to get your logo up,
or any logo for like any new business.
Yeah, anything like that. Or if you just want cute art.
Yeah.
go to
Batoon. She does stickers. She does digital art. She does like actual paintings.
Yeah.
So
she's super creative and so talented. Mashallah. Okay. How do we stay motivated and inspired to keep creating content? Truthfully, we don't.
Truthfully.
If we're going to be
true
to ourselves, we don't. There's so many times where we're tired. And I think you can see that in the consistency.
Yeah. No, there came a point where we had a streak and we wanted to keep the streak going because we told ourselves if we break the streak, we're not going to ever record again.
And that was in the beginning.
Yeah. And I think it was like, what, 10?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like 10 days or not like 10 episodes.
Yeah.
So, but that day, Rina was so sick. So we're like, you know what, Rina, no, it's fine. Like, just one day, it's not going to do anything.
We'll miss an episode and then domino effect. Now we just miss a month sometimes.
Okay, that was because we're in Egypt. Yeah. And, like, exams.
Yeah.
But, and sometimes we just genuinely are busy, busy people. We're busy bees.
I think, yeah, and I think another thing to keep in mind is that we have a life outside of this.
Yeah.
And we have other commitments. And as much as we love getting on and talking and just, you know, doing what we love to do, unfortunately, life also puts a strain on us.
And plus, we don't want the podcast to become this, like, oh my God, we have to record.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to say that like, thing that I love doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I love sitting with Rina. I love recording and talking and all of that stuff. So once it becomes that pressure on it of like, we need to record every single week. We need to do this. We need to do that.
It starts becoming like a chore.
Yeah. And then you just don't want
to
do it anymore.
And you don't look forward to it. And then you're like, oh my God, we have to record this week. And, you know, sometimes it's not even just the fact of like recording, but it's like editing, getting it up. What are we going to write in our description? Like these small things that people probably don't even read.
Yeah.
Like it's still part of the process and it takes a while. Like it takes some like
uploading
in itself, like on YouTube sometimes takes an hour or two. So, but yeah, no, that's why I feel like with content creation, what keeps us motivated is honestly the comments that we get, at least for me. And I think for you as well, like when we see comments, like we got this one comment of this girl. I remember when we spoke about hijab and that was like the first video that hit on YouTube. And she was telling us how she recently is like dabbling with it and she wants to put it on. And then we replied to her and we're like, you know, just keep in mind that you're doing it for Allah. And yes, it's difficult because she was living in the West. And then she followed up and she was like, I ended up trying it out for work this past week and I loved it. And I was just like, wow, like I don't know this girl, but we influenced people in a positive way and we helped them out. So that was really nice. So I think that's what keeps us motivated is like actually seeing a result bounce back to us. Okay. What do we hope our listeners take away from our podcast? I think that kind of touched on
what you said. Yeah.
Yeah. Where it's like,
just kind of, I don't know, broaden your perspective in life. Because I always, like, the reason why I really love conversations, and especially with you, is because you make me see the world in a different light.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, that's so cute.
Like, I just, that's the thing about, like, people. Like, when you have a conversation with someone and you're truly listening, you see the world in a different light. Because, khalas, you're just stuck in your own perspective, in your own mind, in your own way of thinking, that you forget that the way that other people's brain works is also insane and amazing and crazy. And that's why, like, for me, like, listening to my perspective or Rina's perspective, maybe that will broaden your perspective. So let's say a situation comes up. Not only are you thinking in your way, but you're also thinking in, like, other ways.
Yeah.
And that might help you.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. That for me, that's...
I think for me, another thing is that there's a lot, like, we're third culture kids, third world culture kids. So like we didn't grow up in where we're originally from and everything. And we went abroad and we've been in international communities. And I think there's so many people that are like us from our generation, especially like Arabs and of like ethnic backgrounds. They've experienced so many different cultures. But I think what we bring is like, how can I put it into words? It's like this sense of relatability where it's like you might not... Because I was telling this to Shahad the other day where it's like I feel like I'm having an identity crisis where I don't know which community I belong to. Mm-hmm. But then I feel like there's so many people like me though where it's like they have this identity towards where they're from but they don't know if they connect to it extremely. But there's so many people like them because I feel like our generation, our parents has... Like they've made us grow up abroad and they really push to like get this international education. And it just feels nice to know that there's people that think like us as well, that have our similar lives, and that you're not alone, even if it feels like there's no necessarily like an actual like, how can I say this? Like in the Palestinian community, I'm not going to say that I fit directly.
Yeah.
But there are Palestinians that fit me. But also like in my community, there could be like anyone. There could be an Australian girl. There could be a Mexican girl. I don't know. There
basically, relatability and comfort.
Yeah, that's basically it.
Yeah.
From our podcast. Okay. Where are we? Let's wrap it up because this Please. Is going to be a long yeah. episode. Okay, like, let's get into Islam because we got some Islamic questions. Okay, what's one Islamic goal or habit you're working on in, or improving in your life?
I think to have stronger faith in Allah. I feel like that's number one because I was actually having a talk with my mom and she's like, Shahad, I think we underestimate how important it is to have faith in Allah. And just sometimes from like, she's like, when you're in hardship, yeah. you try to think of a solution in this world.
Yeah.
And when nothing works and all of the doors are closed, that's when you go to Allah and you're like, Ya Allah, please help me.
Yeah.
And she's like, why don't we from the beginning go ask to Allah. Him and guide, ask him for guidance? Yeah. Why do we trouble ourselves, worry ourselves, put ourselves in a situation where literally every door is getting shut in our faces when from the beginning you could have just went and asked for guidance?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what I want to work on.
Same. Exactly the same, because I'm such an overthinker and I'm an over controlling person when it comes to things that how I want my life to plan out. And it's not necessarily in timeline, but it's just like, oh, I wanted it to turn out this way. Why is it not going this way? And I feel like if I just had way stronger tawakkul, I would not be stressed out the way I'm stressed out. I would not be thinking. I would not, you know, I would not be feeling the way I'm feeling majority of the time. Yeah. Okay. What aspects of Islamic teaching do you guys find the most comforting in difficult times? I think for me, it's knowing, again, with tawakkul, is that there is a written plan for every single person in this dunya. Mm-hmm. And that regardless of how hard life can get, there's always like, I honestly don't think that Allah has bad plans for good people. And I feel like the concept of life being a test is also a great concept, because you know it's just a temporary thing. You're not in a test for the rest of your life. And if you are in this dunya, you know for, you know, I don't want to say for a fact, but you won't be in the akhirah. Like you might get tested here, but you won't get tested later, especially if you don't fail that test. So I just think knowing that things are temporary and things are written is really nice to know, because you won't be struggling for long and there is going to be happiness at the end. I don't know, like... I don't know how to say it without sounding cringy. There's going to be light at the end of the tunnel.
No, because it's true.
It is true.
Yeah. For me, it's reading Quran. Like, because I always use Quran as a way to have a conversation with Allah. Where, like, I'll just sit on the prayer mat and I'll talk. And then I'll open the Quran on a random page. And it would, like, answer. Like,
I remember.
Like, I remember I have, like, a lot of pictures of the Quran pages. Because I'm like, whoa!
Yeah. Where it, like, but, fits exactly the mood that you're feeling.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I feel like Quran really comforts me. And especially, like, the ayah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Inna ma'al usri yusra, Inna ma'al usri yusra. That also gives me a lot of comfort that with hardship comes ease. And the way that he, like, Allah repeated it twice, like, just making sure, and this gets in your head, like, don't worry.
Everything is going to be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, last two questions, okay? How do you keep confident in hijab in this world that loves baddie aesthetic styles?
Who said we ain't baddies?
We are baddies, low-key. I think for me, I think for us it's a lot easier because I think it really depends where you are. Like where we are in the Middle East, being a baddie is like wearing abaya.
Yeah.
If we're being for real. So it makes like modesty a lot easier.
But it also depends on your own aesthetic, because like, the body is not the only aesthetic that exists.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's, globally, there's a lot of aesthetics. So what do you find comfort in? Like for me, for example, like what I'm wearing right now, it's kind of out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
But like my aesthetic is usually like really baggy jeans and a really baggy shirt. Like athleisure wear. Yeah. So again, it depends on your aesthetic. If you like the aesthetic of baggy clothes, like no, baddie clothings, find a way where you can make it modest.
But I think her question is like, all she sees online, and I think this falls into like hijabi girls online and everything, but like all she sees online is like girls in like booty shorts and like crop tops, waist out, skinny girl, Coca-Cola body, like that type, like 10-10, bust down, hair is down, nails are done, like face looks good. You know what? It's hard. I'm not gonna lie, it's hard, because you know for a fact you could be that girl too.
Yeah.
But then you have this internal battle where it's like, why would I want to choose that when I have, when I feel more, not more drawn to, but me personally, I feel more drawn to dressing the way I'm dressing right now. Like, there's times where it's like, oh, you know, being that type of girl seems cool and stuff, but I don't think for me it would be a long-term thing because I think aesthetics come and go. Facts. I don't think it's something that's going to stay forever. And this year it'll be baddie. Next year it'll be clean girl. The year after that it'll be sporty girl. The year after that it'll be Range Rover mom. You don't know. Like, yeah. Aesthetics aren't a permanent thing that are going to stay situated the whole time. But I feel like with our Dean, and it's always been a situated fact of modesty and dressing yourself appropriately and wearing clothes that cover you. And it's carried on for years and it's never died down. And the true essence of it is still there. And I think that's what's so beautiful about it, is that it's not something that can easily be shifted, just like how everything else can. Because, you know, you had aesthetics all the way back in the 20s where girls had short bobs. And then in the 90s, girls had highlights. Like, those are aesthetics for a reason, and that's why I don't think we should live for those aesthetics, because they're not going to be here in the long run. And we are meant, we're staying here for in the long run. So what are we going to do, just satisfy every single aesthetic that comes around?
Yeah,
it'll die down. I think if you just stick to what the actual essence of being a hijabi is and go back to it, you'll be good. Last question to wrap this up. This is a very long episode.
For real.
I like this question. How do you manage friendships with non-Muslims or atheists?
Okay, so I have a lot of friends that are non-Muslims.
Same.
And...
Oh, wait. I wouldn't say a lot. I have a few, but yeah.
Yeah. No, my whole friend group, my whole high school friend group.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah, my whole high school friend group were non-Muslims. And I love them so much and I adore them. And I feel like we have found a boundary of, like, of respect. Again, as we said, with friendships it comes respect. They have never disrespected my religion. I have never disrespected theirs or their opinions.
Mm-hmm.
We would have conversations, and it would just be conversations. It wouldn't be in a way where it's like
attack.
Yeah, no, you're wrong, you're blah blah blah, whatever. No, it would be like, oh, we do this in my religion, and oh really, we do that, it's kind of similar. Why do you do that, for example? Yeah. And they explain, I'm like, oh, that's very interesting, so why do you do this? I'm like, oh, and then like that, it's an actual flowy conversation where there is no attacking and there's comfort in the conversation, in like the way we are talking. There's comfort and respect when it comes in terms of religion, when we're talking about the religion subject. Yeah. In other times, because khalas, they have seen that I have a boundary of like, I'm a hijabi Muslim girl, whenever they want to do something, for example, that is haram in my religion, they would be like, oh, like, she's Muslim, like, you know, let's respect her boundaries, we'll go do it in our separate, you know, thing. And I wouldn't be upset or annoyed, no, because they respected me. They didn't want to put me in a situation where I would feel discomfort or like disrespected. So I feel like it's very nice to being able to be friends with other people, and they don't have to be from the same religion as you, unlike if you guys have respect for each other.
I think another thing that I'll add on to that is I don't want to say that I prefer, but I enjoy a friendship with a non-Muslim, because when we have these religious conversations, they actually put me in a situation where I have to know my religion. 10 out of 10, because I can't be like, if they're asking me questions, I can't be misinforming them. So it's nice, because with a Muslim, like, to be honest, if I'm gonna be so honest, it's really rare for, I notice myself very rarely having Muslim, like, Islamic related top conversations with my Muslim friends. I just don't really feel like it really comes around in the conversation, like, unless it's you or a few other girls. But other than that, it's really just like, what's happening in our life and everything, and then, you know, you'll throw in the here and there, oh, inshallah khair and whatever. But then when you're with friends that are non-Muslim and they have that respect, and you actually chose a proper person, because at the end of the day, you could be a friend with a non-Muslim person, but if they don't have this internal respect within them, it's never going to work out. Like, there has to be mutual respect. But I think it's so nice because you can educate them and you can also educate yourself in the process where it's like, oh, I actually don't know why we do this. Let's learn about it together. And if they have that open mindset where they want to hear and they want to listen and you also do vice versa, it's really nice. And it's really interesting and it builds a really beautiful dynamic.
And just like Allah said, Bismillah ar-Rahim, lakum deenukum waliya deen. So, khalas, this is their religion and this is my religion.
Yeah. And that's it.
Anyways, guys.
Anyways, that was a very long episode. I hope we answered majority of the questions. Maybe we'll do this again in the future, like
maybe,
after another year, if more people have more questions. But yeah.
Hope you all are happy, healthy, and safe.
And as always, see you next Thursday. Bye-bye. Bye.